I'd like to introduce Dr. David Conley Nelson, or should I say Captain? David has an interesting background, serving as both an airline pilot as well as a PhD in history. He'll talk about his latest book about the Mormon experience in Nazi Germany. We've got some really interesting insights into this. Did you know that the Whitmers, like David Whitmer and all those brothers that saw the Book of Mormon, spoke with German accents? We'll learn more about the Mormon Church in Germany and to see if Mormons suffered persecution. Check out our conversation. Before you do that, the one thing I want to say is we've still got our books for sale, and I'll have Greg Prince's book here shortly. So please make sure you order that. That one I'm going to give a special discount of 50% off. So check out our Amazon page at Amazon.com. Now back to our conversation. Well, welcome to Gospel Tangents Podcast. I'm really excited to be here with Dr. David Conley Nelson. Is that right?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. And so I'm really excited to talk to David. I've known him for a few years. I think we met at Sunstone a few years ago.
We met in Kirkland.
In Kirkland, Ohio. That was a lot of fun. And so why don't you show us your book there that he's written?
Well, this is... name of the book is Moroni and the Swastika, Mormons in Nazi Germany, published in 2015 by the University of Oklahoma Press.
Okay.
It is an extension of my doctoral dissertation from the year 2012 at Texas A&M University in College Station.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background. I know we talked a little bit before I started recording. I understand you have two bachelor's degrees.
I have a bachelor's degree in journalism from the University of Oregon in 1975, so you can probably figure out how old I am. Later on, I went back to school and got an additional bachelor's degree in French from the University of Houston. That was in 1997. And then I went to Texas A&M University, where I obtained a master's degree in the year 2000. And I finished my much-delayed doctorate in history from A&M in 2012.
Yeah, wow. So one of the other interesting things that I know about you is you're an airline pilot. And so I'm trying to remember what the scenario was. I think you got your first degree at University of Oregon, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, and then?
I went into the Marine Corps as a commissioned officer. I was a ground officer. And I was in charge of assault amphibian vehicles for amphibious combat landings on opposed beaches.
Oh, wow.
Thank goodness we don't do too much of that anymore. It's a pretty vulnerable operation.
Oh, yeah.
But the Marine Corps has the responsibility for the doctrine and the execution of amphibious landings. And I figured if I was going to be a Marine, I was going to do the Marine Corps trademark. So I was on active duty for 6 years in the Marine Corps. Two tours in Southern California at Camp Pendleton, one tour in Okinawa, and while on active duty, I used the Vietnam-era GI Bill, another hint as to how old I am, and I learned how to fly, and the government gave me substantial financial assistance in getting a commercial pilot certificate and all the various ratings that went along with it. So for the last 35 years, I've been a professional airline pilot. I'm a captain on the Boeing 737 with a major domestic and international carrier here in the United States. I've been with them for 31 years.
Wow. And got a PhD while you were doing all that.
Well, yes. Yeah, I've been busy.
Well, great. Well, let's dive right into your book. So one of the interesting things, and I remember reading your book, I did not realize that the Whitmer brothers were of German descent.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about their conversion?
Peter and Mary Whitmer both spoke English with a pronounced German accent. Mary Whitmer, the mother, was born in Germany. Peter was born in the United States. They were before they converted to Mormonism, they were members of a Reformed congregation. Their first three children, their birth certificates are in German. There's been a lot of German spoken in the United States for a long time, and there were official records in German language schools only up till about the First World War. So
here in the United States.
In the United States, yes.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's not surprising that the Whitmers brought a lot of their German heritage with them and hung on to the language for a while, but eventually they were Anglophones. But in their at least in their lifetime, they spoke it with a pronounced German accent.
Okay, so Peter Whitmer, you said, had a very pronounced German accent.
Well, that's, I wasn't back there
yeah.
at that time, but historians have traced that down, and one of my mentors, D. Michael Quinn, mentioned that to me one time.
Oh, wow.
And it made it into my book.
Wow. I actually have some German ancestry. My mother is a Podlatis, was the name that... they came from, and actually, I believe it was Prussia.
Mm-hmm.
I get all confused about Prussia, as I understand, is now Poland. Is that correct?
Well, no, partially Prussia and partially Northern Germany.
Okay. So, yeah, obviously the boundaries have changed quite a bit since the days of Peter Whitmer. But the Podlatis family kind of dropped the D and Americanized it. It's the Palatis family now. So
I see. Yeah.
So that's been kind of interesting. I have a little bit of German heritage in me. So
well, I'm one quarter German. I had a maternal great grandfather. He and his wife came over from Bavaria and settled in Louisiana looking for farmland.
Oh, wow.
And that's what they did.
We always think of Cajun land as being more French than German.
There are a substantial number of German immigrants in Louisiana.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So the other interesting thing that I saw in the book that I was really kind of surprised about was how strong the LDS Church, especially in the 19th century, was in Germany. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'd agree with you with some caveats. As far as linguistics are concerned, English speakers were the number one immigrants to Zion. Scandinavian speakers, Danes, Norwegians, and Swedes, had the number two linguistic group. The German language was the third strongest immigrant linguistic group to come across the sea and settle in what we now call the Mormon culture region, which is Utah and southern Idaho, northern Arizona, parts of Wyoming and Nevada and all of that. Joseph Smith placed an emphasis on recruiting from northern Europeans, and Germans were among those. He was not quite as successful, though, with the Germans as he was with the English speakers, of course, because in England, whole congregations converted and came over to the United States. But there was a substantial effort made to reap Germans as converts, somewhat less successfully than the Scandinavians and the Brits, but still substantially. In the turn of the century, in 1900, the Mormons had a mission in Germany for 49 years. They still only had 2,000 Germans that were members of the Mormon Church, and about 7,000 German speakers had immigrated from Germany and come to Utah and points beyond.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize they were the number three country, I guess.
They had problems in Germany that they didn't really have in England and in the Scandinavian.
The missionaries
countries.
Had problems.
The missionaries, yes, they did have problems because there was substantial opposition from the Catholic and the Lutheran churches there. And the state and the government kept its eye on the missionaries much more, and they received much more government harassment. No missionary was ever killed or anything like that, but it was much more official harassment from the government because the Germans knew what was going on in the United States at the time. They knew that in the 19th century, the Mormons had their qualms and their quibbles with the United States government and vice versa, mostly over the issue of polygamy. There was never any polygamy practiced in Germany by the Mormon missionaries or anything like that. Every once in a while, they'd take a convert home with them, you know, and that would become their wife. But they still had much more oversight by the German secret police. In fact, the Germans had the Prussian secret police was so effective that they could, they knew when missionaries were dispatched from Salt Lake City and making their way to the East Coast to catch a ship to come to Germany. They knew that because they had a secret police network among German immigrants in the United States. The Germans also thought that they were being used in order to try to give legitimacy to the Mormons, to the Mormon government at home. They thought that they knew that the Mormons had their disagreements with the American government, and if they could get enough converts and establish enough people, maybe they could have a state and they would be more self-governing than they would be as a territory. Also, there were problems with Mormons missionaries converting young German men of military age, and then they would come across and immigrate to the United States when they hadn't done their obligatory military service. And that is a problem with German Americans, and it went beyond the Mormons. A lot of German immigration to the United States. And in the 1880s or 1890s, a German would come over to the United States and would settle in. And then 10 years later, he would go back to visit relatives. And the police authorities would apprehend him and charge him with evading the draft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the Mormons had a little bit of that problem, too. So, yes, the Mormons, to a certain degree, were very successful in Germany, but they had their share of problems, and German was a distinct third place as an immigrant language.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, you know, I think most Americans, when we think about Germany, the first thing that comes to mind is Hitler and Nazis. What was the government like back in the 19th century, as far as was it a dictatorship? Was it a kingship?
Well, you have a key date in German history, and that's 1871. Prior to 1871, it was called Germany, but all the little states were pretty much self-governing. And then in 1871, Otto von Bismarck brought in German unification, and all of a sudden you had a unified German state, which changed the political reality in Western Europe a great deal. You know, France had been the great continental power under Napoleon, and even after Napoleon was defeated, France had the largest land army. You brought the German states together, and all of a sudden, Prussia combined with Bavaria and with Saxony and with all these other states in a cohesive government unit, and all of a sudden the Germans were the most powerful. Now, the Germans didn't have, they had an autocracy over there. The powerful people were able to control the government, but democracy was breaking out in Germany at the time. Under Bismarck, Germany was the first European power to come up with workers' compensation insurance. And they didn't do it because they were all bleeding heart liberals and wanted to help help out the workers. They knew that the Socialist Party, the Socialist Party of SPD, the Socialist Party of Deutschland, was getting pretty politically powerful, and they did it to appease the German labor movement. So, you know, Germany was, it was a fledgling democracy after 1871.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. David Nelson. In our next conversation, we'll talk about persecution of Mormon missionaries before Hitler.
So in that particular atmosphere, a lot of local policemen would round up the Mormon missionaries. They'd put them in jail for a day and then let them loose. Or a local judge would tell them that they could have a suspended sentence and go home charged with what, I don't know.
But if they would just leave the country.
Well, what?
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.